Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. My sister Terry and her husband Doc have moved back to Florida, to Boynton, from Virginia, and I'm so glad. And they are about to close on a house this week. And in the meantime, they've been staying with me, and I've been loving it. Coming from a family of eight, I love having all these other people in the house. So, as many of you know, I am rather enthralled with sea turtles, and I live right near the beach, and so most days I'm down there at sunrise looking for new nests and talking to the sea turtle monitors and sometimes seeing the babies crawling out after they've emerged. But what I've never seen is an adult female actually laying the eggs at night. I don't feel real comfortable going down there by myself in the middle of the night, and I've just never captured it, even if a friend has met me and we've walked. So the other night, Terry and Doc and I had dinner, and we watched a movie, and we went to bed. And about 12:15, I'm sound asleep. The phone rings. I pick up the phone, and I look, and it's my sister, and she's right in the room next door to me. So I'm thinking, why is she calling me on the phone? And then she says, Wendy, come down to the beach. We couldn't sleep. There's a sea turtle, and she's here. She's digging a nest. And so I said, okay. So I got dressed real quick. I walked down to the beach, and sure enough, there was this amazing, beautiful, huge loggerhead, and she was digging her nest. And the skylight was just enough that we could see without turning on lights. And we stayed with her for about an hour. And she laid her eggs, and then she pretty quickly walked back down to the ocean, you know, the way that they do. And we were able to walk with her and see her as she went out into the ocean. It was time out of time, if you know what I mean. It was just amazing. And get this. These magnificent creatures have been doing this same ritual for over 150 million years. Father Mike would tell you 200 million. He works down at Gumbo Limbo. 150 to 200 million years. Dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago. So they're amazing creatures. And they carry with them this evolutionary knowledge that goes beyond our understanding, for sure. The most important part of this, at least for this summer, that I am most interested in, is that when comes the time for the female, for the adult female, to lay her eggs, she returns to the exact nesting grounds where she was emerged, where she was born. The same nesting grounds, and they travel up to 10,000 miles in a year. So that many miles to be able to hone back in with that kind of a GPS exactly to the same nesting grounds. I find it nothing but beyond our awareness, beyond our understanding, that innate knowing from whence she came. From whence she came. In another time, much nearer to our day, just 3,000 years ago, King David was sitting in his house of cedar and feeling very comfortable, and things were going kind of well. And he says to the prophet Nathan, you know, here I am in all this glory. We need to build God a home. Nathan says, yeah, I think so too. But later that night, Nathan gets a message from the Lord. He says, no, you go back and you tell David not so fast. And so he comes back and he brings the message and he says to him, the Lord says, I don't need a home. I don't need you to build me a home. Have I not been with you? Have I not always been with you? I've been with you from the time you were a shepherd out in the field. I was with you when you were anointed king. I was with you when you slew Goliath. I've always been with you. I will always be with you. And furthermore, not only do you not need to build me a house, I'm going to have a house built for you, and your offspring are going to do it. And sure enough, his son Solomon would do that in later years. A place a temple where we come to remember that God is with us always. That God is with us always. So fast forward then another 1,000 years to when Jesus walked the earth, and he told his disciples in our gospel pretty much the same thing. Now remember, if you were in church last week, what led up to today was the beheading of John the Baptist. Remember, Father William was saying, oh great, this is the gospel for my last day. So Jesus has just heard the news that John the Baptist, his cousin, with whom he had grown up and had really known from the womb, remember John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb, he had just heard this news, and Jesus was completely human as well as completely divine, so he had to be grieving. He's grieving. He's just heard about his cousin being murdered, decapitated. And then the disciples come running on the scene, all excited and happy because they've just come back from being sent out two by two, and they did what they were told to do. So Jesus is having to sort all this out. And yes, he was divine, God incarnate, but as a human being, he still dealt with emotions. So they wanted to talk to him about how they had anointed the sick, about how they had cast out demons, how they had cured illnesses, how they had taught. Not only that going on in Jesus' life, but the crowds are pressing in again. They can't get enough of them, and they're there so much so that the text tells us they couldn't even eat. So what does Jesus do? He says, come away with me to a quiet place that's deserted so that we can rest. Come away with me in the chaos. And so they do. They get in the boat, and right after that, amazing miracles happen. If you notice in the gospel, you'll see a comma, and there's a big portion of the text that's left out in today's lectionary, and that's because the miracles were so huge. We're going to talk about them next week. It was the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water. So that's what happens right after they take a time apart. Frequently in scripture, you see that with Jesus. He would go away to a mountaintop, or he would go away to be quiet, and then these miracles would happen. So then, right after that, in today's gospel, they get to the other side, and he starts healing. And anyone who touched his cloak was healed. Was healed. So this message of Jesus taking the time apart and instructing the disciples about taking the time apart is to help them touch base, to reconnect with who they really are and whose they are, and that they carry the living God with them all the time, all the time. Now, little children convey this rather beautifully, and I was reminded of this last Sunday. I just peeked at the gospel for this week before I left and went to, you know, we had the big celebration for William, and then we had the luncheon, and my niece and her husband were having a shower given for them at the Ocean Club that afternoon, and I was able to make it just for the last hour or so. I get to the Ocean Club, we have this nice baby shower, and it was for their second child. And then after the shower, several of us went downstairs to sit by the pool, and we're having a glass of wine late in the afternoon. And Millie, the 2.5-year-old, decides that she's going to go off the diving board into the deep end. This is what she wants to do. She's 2.5. So we're sitting, I'm sitting with my sister-in-law and my sisters, and we're watching, and we see Fritz, her dad, get in the pool, go under the diving board, treading water so that he can catch her. And Jessica, my niece, walks her little Millie over to the diving board, and she gets up on the board. And I took some pictures so you could see what happened here. So here's Jessica, my niece, on the right. And there's Fritz in the bottom. And there's Millie. Next slide. She's not so sure. She goes back to her mom, right? Okay, next slide. And her mom reassures her, and see, her mom is pregnant there. She made me make sure I would tell you she's pregnant. So she wasn't real thrilled I was showing her in a bathing suit. So then, okay, next slide. She decides, Millie wasn't quite sure, so Jessica walked her out on the board, next slide, all the way to the end, and she's saying, yeah, mommy, don't let go, don't let go, but I want to do it. Next slide. And she does it. Next slide. And they swam off to the edge. And then, of course, what does she say when she gets out? Again, mommy, again, right. So next slide. And she was so proud. So proud. So proud. She had to touch base with the one that represented everything to her, her mom and her dad. Right? That's who is represented of God in that moment for her. She had to touch base. And as I sat there watching, I thought, what a beautiful reminder to us of this story today, of God's constant presence with us. When we need help, we can rely on God. We're to take that time apart, to touch base, to realize who we really are. Whether we are in need of perseverance and the courage to do something we don't think we can do, like little Millie, or whether we need strength in a horrible, different situation or a tragedy, God's constant presence is there teaching us. So just to review, creation, all of creation, not just the turtles, all of creation teaches us that constant presence of something beyond ourselves. Little children, if you watch them, teach us the same thing in their wonder and the way they are. It's what Jesus said. A little child shall lead them, right? Nathan taught David through the word of the Lord to him. The Lord was teaching David the same thing. And Jesus taught the disciples and us the exact same thing. And many times in Scripture, you hear this. In 1 Corinthians, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Do you not know? Paul tells us. Jesus gives us this blueprint, this roadmap. Because my sisters and brothers, this is not the church. This is a building. You are the church. I am the church. And we carry this church out into the world if we're really professing and living what we profess. Some of you attended Elliot Williams' funeral, or you may have heard Marcia Beam preach before. She's the priest down at St. Matthew's, and she always greets her congregation, good morning, church, big smile. How you doing, church? And my question is, how are you doing, church, outside these walls? How are you living it? And I ask myself the same question, because we all forget. I think we have to come here. This is, like God, the Lord, was telling David, this is the place where we get renewed, a time apart, hopefully, and strengthened in that knowledge so that we can go do it. That's the whole point. And for comfort and for solace when we need it here. We gather here each week, so many different backgrounds. And yet what unites us is Jesus Christ. And we come to the table and we partake of it so that we can take it out into this world. But fair warning, you start really living that way in kindness, especially to your family members, which sometimes it's the hardest, or close personal colleagues, and people are going to want to be around you. People are going to want to come to you too, to touch the cloak, because your behavior will be of love and truth and kindness and forgiveness first, not waiting for somebody else to forgive you. Courage, wisdom to take the time to listen, patience, rather than tit for tat, getting back at somebody. And when offended, to take that extra second to see that possibly that other person has some deep hurt that they're expressing in a negative way. People are going to want to be around you. They're just fair warning. They probably already are, because I can see it in so many of you. On earth, as it is in heaven, your home. Let us pray. Summoned by the God who made us rich in our diversity, gathered in the name of Jesus, richer still in unity, let us bring the gifts that differ and in splendid varied ways sing a new church into being, one of faith and love and praise, radiant risen from the water, robed in holiness and light, male and female in God's image, male and female God's delight. Trust the goodness of creation. Trust the spirit strong within. Dare to dream the vision promised, sprung from seed of what has been. Bring the hopes of every nation. Bring the art of every race. Weave a song of peace and justice. Let it sound through time and space. Draw together at one table all the human family. Shape a circle ever wider and a people ever free. Amen.